I'm Molly Wansell.
And I'm Geoffrey Wansell.
And for the last 16 years or thereabouts, we have been having lunch every Saturday, and often our conversation turns to murder.
And that's what's prompted us to launch this true crime podcast called Blood Ties.
Hi everyone, welcome back to the Blood Ties podcast. I'm Molly Wansell and I'm here with my father, Geoffrey Wansell.
Hello everyone, welcome back. It's seems to have been a long August. I don't know, August is not my favourite month. I know everybody seems to disappear, or, you know, it's just an odd month. I know the famous quote is April is a cruel month, but I've always thought August was a bit of a cruel month.
I know, you hate
month.
August.
And not my favourite month.
Well, good news, it's nearly over.
Yes, we're right at the end.
To me, it's just like, oh, well, then the year's nearly over and, like, well, yes. What have I achieved?
Any moment it'll be Christmas and then it'll be Wimbledon, except there won't be Wimbledon.
Yeah, it doesn't have quite the same thing this year, does it?
Anyway, you have been a bit away for a little bit.
I was away.
That's nice.
Yeah, it was nice. Well, the weather wasn't very good.
No. But on the other hand, at least it was a change of scene.
It was a change of scene. Yeah. You would like a change of scene?
There are moments when I'd like a change of scene.
These four walls getting a bit small.
But on the other hand, I'm very happy with what I do. And I had an unexpected week off this week because I thought I was filming, but I wasn't. So I didn't have to prepare two other cases. Yeah. So that's a kind of, for me, that's a sort of...
It was a bit of a holiday week then, end of August holiday week.
Bit of a holiday. You know, that's rather good.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. How are you otherwise?
I'm in pretty reasonable form. I'm lucky enough, as you know, to review lots of books. And I'm currently just finishing Richard Osman, the television presenter's debut crime thriller called The Thursday Murder Club, which is going to be, I'm afraid to say, not only just a big hit, but a very big hit. He's already sold it to Steven Spielberg and Amblin. It's very funny. It's very good. It's got a great plot. And what I love about it, of course, is its four principal characters are all old age pensioners.
Oh, that's so fun.
They're all, every one of them is a septuagenarian or older.
No wonder you like it.
Yeah, it's absolutely. It's terrific. And
it looks great.
And I'll review it a week's time.
Can I have your copy when you finish?
Of course.
Thanks so much.
So that's a lovely treat. And I've been reading all sorts of very good books and preparing the podcasts, of course.
Oh, yeah.
And
we wanted to talk to you listeners, our listeners, our dearest listeners, about something we have been thinking about doing.
Okay, what's that?
Which is starting a Patreon membership page. Patreon is a sort of system where creative people who run podcasts or are artists or musicians or whatever can set up a kind of old-fashioned patronage system where people can pay them a little bit of money to support what they do.
Okay.
Because we don't make a huge amount of money currently doing this podcast, although, you know, we have high hopes.
We always had high hopes, no question.
And so it costs us money to make it, which we're very happy to spend because we love doing it.
We do.
Nothing will change. Our podcast will remain the same. It will still be available and it will still be free. That doesn't change for anybody.
So we're not going to say you can't listen to unless you...
No.
I wouldn't want that.
No, that would not make you happy.
I would want
me.
People to have the podcast.
Everything will remain the same, but there will be the chance for any of you who wish to support us to pay. I think what we're just working it out now, but we're going to have a kind of three-tier system where you can pay just a little bit, tiny, like a couple of pounds a month or something, to just literally be supportive to us, and just it helps us earn a tiny bit of money to help pay for cover our costs. And then there will be a kind of second tier where you'll have like potentially, because so many of you are requesting topics for the podcast now, we might have something where we can have a vote and we would have a winner choose which topic we would cover, okay. And something like that. And
that then, sounds fun.
Yeah. And then the kind of final tier, we're still quite working this out, which would be, you know, the highest cost, but again, still not huge, would be for, we would provide like perhaps a bonus episode per month. which we would film so you can see us in our natural habitat.
Such as it is.
And there would just be on there a bit more, like, free content. So, you know, if you were desperate.
So you get a few sort of
you
add-ons.
Get a few extra bits and bobs, few vids, few things. Some extra content, perhaps an extra podcast that the other wouldn't get. But it, as I say, we're still working it out, but we think it would be fun and we're up for, you know, doing a bit more.
My only absolute caveat is that the podcast should remain free to anybody who wants it for free.
That will not change.
Because it seems to me that one of the great joys about this is that we are trying to inform, educate and entertain, the classic Reithian principles. Would that the BBC could still remember the Reithian principles.
You might have to explain what Reithian means.
Reithian means that the first Director General of the BBC was a man who later became Lord Reith, who enunciated the principles that the BBC was there to educate, entertain and inform. And that's what I've always thought this podcast should be about. It should be about all those things. At its best, what we do creatively is we hope we extend people's awareness in all sorts of areas. Mm. And this case this morning is an excellent one.
Yeah, which we'll get onto. Now, this was suggested to us originally by Daisy West, listener. And I must have missed your message, Daisy, because I didn't get it. And then your mum followed up and was like, please, can you cover this? Requested a couple of times, so we are covering it. This is Gypsy Rose Blanchard.
It is, although I have a sort of nickname for it.
Okay.
I like to call this Baroness Munchausen.
Okay, well, this is Baroness Munchausen.
But it is the story of Gypsy Rose Blanchard. I have to say that this is one of the most extraordinary stories. In fact, it almost defies belief. And it all happened in 2015. It was just extraordinary. There's no other word for it. But let's do a little bit of background. Gypsy Rose Blanchard is the daughter of Claudine D.D. Blanchard. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Dee Dee was born in 1967 on the Gulf Coast of the States in Louisiana, and she was one of six children. At 24, she was a little late developer. At 24, she got pregnant by a man called Rod Blanchard, who was 17, and she got married. But shortly before her only child's birth, Gypsy Rose, in July 1991, Rod left. And
it was a short-lived marriage.
Short-lived marriage. Although Rod, to be fair, did keep in touch with his daughter, Gypsy Rose. There are all sorts of legends associated with why she was called Gypsy Rose. One is that Dee Dee liked the name Gypsy and he was an admirer of Guns N' Roses. There is a more complicated one which involves a very famous American burlesque artist called Gypsy Rose Lee, who had a very domineering mother. More of this anon. However, so Dee Dee gives birth and then becomes, how can one put it, convinced that her daughter, tiny baby, has got all kinds of health conditions from the age of about 3 months, and she's repeatedly taking her to A&E, and the child is being admitted and she's got this wrong and that's wrong. It's very bizarre, but nevertheless Dee Dee keeps it up. And at seven, the age of seven, or nearly eight, Gypsy Rose has been given a lift on the back of her grandfather's motorcycle. And they have a minor road accident, after which Dee Dee starts to insist that Gypsy has to use a walker to help her walk, and then a wheelchair because she's not capable of walking. She's homeschooled by Dee Dee.
For obvious reasons.
Because, and I quote, the so-called severity of her many illnesses and incapacities. Gypsy teaches herself to read. Some homeschooling then.
Mm.
By reading Harry Potter. Meanwhile, Dee Dee has moved in with her father and stepmother. And though this has never been established, it's pretty clear that she starts to poison her stepmother with weed killer. She makes her very ill. And Dee Dee's father suspects something is wrong. And I think says, leave and take Gypsy with you. And they move to Louisiana, where they lived in public housing. Yet again, the same thing. Gypsy's taken to A&E, to specialists, or literally like an obsession, which to some extent it is. Now, Dee Dee is calling herself Blanchard again, but she attracts a lot of publicity in Louisiana because of here is a mother coping on her own with a severely disabled daughter. So she becomes something of a local celebrity. Gypsy develops a passion for fantasy conventions. She likes to dress up.
Okay. Lots of people like that.
Yeah, that, you know, sci-fi.
Comic-Con sort of thing.
Comic-Con, exactly. You know, conventions. And she goes... Anyway, there's a sense in which by now the obsession, Dee Dee's obsession with keeping her daughter in this extraordinary state is developing even further. She's got a feeding tube. Everywhere she goes, she's got an oxygen tank. I mean, this is quite extraordinary. I mean, it justifies the description.
Is she poisoning her? And is she making her ill?
No, no, she isn't. But, of course, what's going on is, oh, well, it can only be called a confidence trick, I suppose. And Dee Dee's actually, to put it politely, a bit of a liar. She bounces checks. She insists that the reason Gypsy's as bad is her father was an alcoholic, an abusive alcoholic, which he wasn't. Mm. And she's giving her anti-seizure medicine because she keeps on insisting that...
She's having seizures.
Yeah, the Gypsy Rose is having seizures, okay? So she's taking seizure medicine, which makes Gypsy Rose's teeth fall out.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so she's got a great hole in the front of her teeth.
Poor thing.
And she's got a bridge, in. Well, one doctor... This is a grotesque deception. I mean, there's no question about it. It's grotesque.
Mm.
One doctor in Springfield, Louisiana, suspects just something, that Dee Dee is actually showing symptoms of Munchausen syndrome by proxy,
mm-hmm.
which effectively means that you induce illness in somebody else to attract attention.
We had this with Beverly Allitt.
We did indeed. It's the same principle. That's why my nickname for this is Baroness Munchausen. But it wasn't simply that Dee Dee made Gypsy Rose into an invalid. She also abused her. I mean, she would beat her with a coat hanger. And I mean, she was a very strange woman. Mm. But she started faking her birth certificate. She produced another birth certificate that she was born in 1995 instead of 1991 so that she would remain a teenager. It's all about this deception.
So she was still under her care.
That's right.
Mm.
So she was still under her care. But, be fair, Gypsy Rose, at one particular convention, a fantasy convention, in 2011, when she was actually 20... not 16,
mm-hmm.
She meets a man online and ends up in his hotel room at the convention. As you can imagine, Dee Dee is furious.
Livid.
Absolutely furious. I mean, it's almost beyond saying. She smashes Gypsy Rose's computer with a hammer and threatens to do the same to her fingers if she ever tried to escape, and I use the word advisedly, again.
Poor girl.
Yes. The reality, of course, is that by now the girl is, well, a woman, and she's in her 20s. And, of course, she gets another computer. And, of course, she realises that there are people out there. She has 5 different Facebook accounts.
Yeah, well, you would have to live entirely online if that was your life, wouldn't you?
You would. And, well, I can't imagine living entirely online, but I can imagine that you need to.
Yeah, you would need to.
So eventually, in 2014, Gypsy Rose, they've incidentally by now been forced out of Louisiana because of Hurricane Katrina in 2005, which apparently, quotes, destroyed Gypsy Rose's medical records and her birth certificate.
Oh, useful.
Useful, you might say. And they're in Missouri. Gypsy Rose confesses in 2014, when it should be recalled she's 23, actually, not 7, as she's being told she has a mental age of by her mother. She says to her neighbour, "I've met a man online. The man's name is Nicholas Godjon, G-O-D-E John, Godjon.
Godjon.
Yes, who's, I'm afraid, not perhaps the most...
stand up
character. He's got a bit of a criminal record, partly for indecent exposure.
Oh dear.
And
the
he has
internet is a dangerous place for find love, to
yes,
be honest.
Yes, I've never tried.
We've talked about catfish before.
Okay, I'm not doing it again. Anyway, he's also got some mental problems. There is suggestions that he suffered from autism. However, Gypsy Rose, being nothing if not adventurous, she conducts this entire relationship online without her mother's knowledge, because she stays up late and her mother goes to bed early. It's sometimes suggested that Dee Dee drank a lot and went to bed early because she was falling asleep, but we don't know. We have no way of telling. They lived alone, just the two of them. Anyway, she contrives to arrange a meeting accidentally, that Good John should come to them and meet her in the street when her mother and she are leaving the cinema. Well, let's put it this way. Her young man, her paramour, has quite complicated sexual interests, particularly in BDSM. And she and he exchange a series of what can only be described as unwise text messages and Facebook messages. And when they meet, this quotes, unexpected meeting, the pair have sex in the bathroom. Gypsy Rose realises that perhaps isn't quite as nice a person as she thought he was. But nevertheless, and let's be fair here, she is in an intolerable position.
Yeah, she can't escape, can she?
So in spite of the fact she may not care for him all that much, they begin to plan to kill her mother, Dee Dee. They also plan to get married and they start discussing the names of their children. Good. Bear in mind that this is still a girl who is in a wheelchair with an oxygen tank, a feeding tube, isn't allowed to get stand up, apparently, has a mental age of 7. I mean, Dee Dee's fantasy and the reality of Gypsy Rose are completely...
very far apart.
At odds, aren't they? But you can sort of sympathise. Finally... in June 2015, on June the 14th, or possibly a few days before. Gujon turns up in Springfield, where they're living, and Gypsy Rose arranges with him that he should arrive while they're out at a doctor's appointment. They have endless doctor's appointments. They're always at the doctor's, or yeah, the hospital, or wherever it might be, or the specialist, or... And so they wait for Dee Dee to go to bed, to fall asleep. And then Gojon turns up at the door, and Gypsy Rose lets him in and provides him with a knife and some duct tape. Now, at this point, it's interesting. She said, "I never thought he'd go through with it." Well, he certainly did go through with it. While she was in bed, Gujon stabbed Dee Dee repeatedly. Repeatedly. Gypsy Rose was in the bathroom with her hands over her ears, so she couldn't hear. This is a very rare and very, very rare case in which the abused kills the abuser.
Will she get someone else to do it?
Well, we know that she collaborated.
Oh. Are you saying we don't know if she was involved actually in it or not?
We think we know that she didn't commit the crime.
But she planned it.
Yes, they planned it together. It's a joint enterprise. We would call it in Britain a joint enterprise. Mm. Because even though you didn't wield the knife, you were there, you knew what was going to happen, you had planned it, it was premeditated.
Mm.
Okay. The two then retire to Gypsy Rose's bedroom to have sex again. They steal $4,000 that Dee Dee kept in the house. Running away money, I suppose, I don't quite know, but she kept $4,000 in the house. And they flee to a motel in Springfield to plan, quotes, their next move. They sit there, and then guess what? They decide, because Gojon comes from Wisconsin, they decide they'll go back to his hometown in Wisconsin. Well, when the police first break in to Dee Dee's house, all they find is her body. In fact, it's a pretty nasty scene. She's face down on the bed in a pool of blood, having been stabbed multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
But, you see, they still believe, because it's the local police, that Gypsy Rose is only age 7.
And in a wheelchair.
And in a wheelchair. Perhaps she's been abducted. Because when they get to the house, Gypsy Rose's wheelchair and all her medications are all there. There was a concern among the local police that she'd been snatched.
And then she was in, her life was in danger.
Her life was in grave danger.
Yeah.
But then the neighbour that she'd told, that Gypsy Rose had told she'd met a man online, tells the police. And they begin to investigate Gypsy Rose's online presence.
Oh, now they're going to read all the messages and find all the multiple Facebook accounts.
Yes, they begin. And they also begin to realise, after talking to one doctor who was suspicious, that she's an adult and not suffering from any of the physical or mental disabilities that her mother had told the world she was suffering from.
Which would give motive, potentially.
Well, indeed. Because originally, the sympathy was entirely with Dee Dee having to look after this severely disabled daughter.
Mm.
Whereas, in fact, she was subjecting her daughter to what can only be described as an ordeal of the worst kind.
Mm.
She's infantilizing her. She's denying her freedom. She's denying her growing up. She's denying her fact that she's now an adult woman with her own needs and desires. And all she's doing that for is to gain attention and sympathy. Mm. And I suspect some benefits, financial benefits.
Yeah, must have got some.
But it's almost pathetic in a way, but these are not Bonnie and Clyde. I mean, they're not thinking ahead, really. And of course, the police trace Nicholas through his ISP account.
Hmm.
Back, guess where? Right back to his home, where he's gone with Gypsy Rose. He's back in Wisconsin.
At home.
At home. The police arrive and they confess at once. I mean, it's very difficult not to have some sympathy for Gypsy Rose here. She had been subjected to relentless...
It's no life.
...abuse. And she'd been turned into this vegetable, you know, even though she wasn't really a vegetable. There are some... I do urge you, if you haven't ever looked up this case, there are some fascinating pictures of Gypsy Rose, especially wearing odd costumes. She was a great lover of wearing odd costumes. And the fact that she had a great bridge in the front of her mouth made her look most extraordinary. And I'm not saying that lightly, but she looks quite remarkable.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, remember, this is a girl, well, a woman, now 24. No, just 23. Not quite 24. Who is being treated as though she were a child of 7 or 8. When the details of the case come out, there's quite a lot of sympathy for Gypsy Rose. Not least because when she's in jail on remand, far from losing weight, she gains a stone because her mother had been starving her.
Yeah.
Gradually, the case is perfectly clear. And in July 2015... She takes a plea bargain and is sentenced to 10 years. Goodjohn goes on trial for first-degree murder. Gypsy only gets accused of second degree. Goodjohn goes on trial and Gypsy Rose gives evidence against him. And their sexual messages are put into evidence in court. He is found guilty of first-degree murder. There can't really be very much doubt about it. There's DNA evidence. There's, you know, it's blindingly clear. And gets life. It's very difficult to know quite what moral position to take about this crime, because there's no doubt whatever that in many people's minds, Gypsy Rose had reached the end of her tether. She simply couldn't think, couldn't conceive of, you know, living with her mother anymore, and he represents maybe a route out. But it was very naive. The whole thing was desperately naive. He's clearly got mental problems anyway. Goodness knows what mental condition she's in.
Yeah.
And it's a kind of just a great burst of vengeance. Because in my own mind, I've always been completely clear that Gypsy Rose knew perfectly well she was being manipulated. But there was a very, very strong relationship between mother and daughter. But it is nevertheless one of the most extraordinary cases of a child who has been abused killing the abuser.
Mm.
More often it's the abuser killing the child.
Yeah.
I mean, there are so many countless cases of that,
yeah,
aren't there?
Of course.
But goodness me. So the case of Dee Dee and Gypsy Rose sticks in my mind for that. It's as if it's the cobra and the mongoose.
Mm.
They can't quite not be there together.
Yeah, kind of coexistence.
They've got a coexistence. It's a horrible coexistence.
Very codependent relationship.
Enormously codependent.
They both need to go to CODA.
Yeah, but if you think about it, it's comparative. It's a recent case. I mean, we only talk about 2015, and there must be other cases.
There must be.
You know, a child who is infantilized
by
their mother for attention and sympathy, and indeed possibly financial gain.
Yeah.
But goodness me, crikes.
Well, that was so interesting, Baroness Munchausen.
Yes.
And then I was thinking while you were telling me that story, there is a similar plot line to that in a TV show on Netflix called The Politician.
Yes.
Where Zoe Dutch plays a girl whose mother does that to her. And you might quite like that show. It's very silly, but you might quite like it.
Yes, I mean, this has inspired one or two bits.
But this actual story, I realise now, has been adapted into a television show with Patricia Arquette and Joey King. I think Patricia Arquette won some awards for
playing... She played the mother, didn't she?
The mother, yeah. Mm. It's called The Act, which I should watch because it looks good. And now I'm even more interested.
Mm. It is a fascinating case.
Yeah. Thanks for the suggestion, Daisy.
Yes, thank you very much. I knew about it, but only very little. But it's been fascinating. And I find particularly the pictures of mother and daughter are riveting.
Yeah, they are. I just saw one of her dressed up in at Harry Potter World.
Yes. And her mother's this rather big figure.
She's quite extraordinary looking, isn't she?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, there you do go. Thanks,
well,
Dad.
I would like to say it was a pleasure, but it is morally, it's a very, very complicated question.
Mm. Well, it's wrong.
Sure, but it's nevertheless, where do your sympathies lie?
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. No, it's definitely with Gypsy Rose.
Yeah.
No one wants to have that happen to them.
No. And the reason I raised that in the beginning about Gypsy Rose and Gypsy Rose Lee was that her mother was had multiple birth certificates, and her mother was very domineering.
Interesting.
But that's another story for another day. Mm. But I do think it's an interesting one, and I've enjoyed doing it. If you can really enjoy it, but
yeah, but it's not as gruesome as
some of the
ones we've done.
I've spent a bit of last week, as is my wont, re-researching the famous Jerry Brudos, the so-called shoe fetish slayer, who appears in two episodes of season one.
Oh, he's in Mindhunter.
Mindhunter.
Ugh, Mindhunter, how sad you haven't been renewed.
So I went back and watched the whole of series one.
Yeah, because it's so good.
Yeah, and he's very well portrayed in this, actually.
I remember.
Very well portrayed because Holden Ford buys him a pair of shoes.
Yeah, I remember that.
And gives it to him as a present.
Oh, my God, I love them so much.
And Brudos is an extraordinary case in every way. At one point, I've never got to the bottom of the story, but at one point he's believed to have dressed up as a woman to abduct a woman at gunpoint. Now, you can see what kind of life I'm leading at the moment.
Yeah, sounds jolly.
Yes. Can we talk about something jolly now, please?
Yeah, sure.
But all that Patreon thing sounds, I mean, fine to me.
Good.
People would like to do it.
I hope people will want to. We'll provide more info.
Yeah.
As and when. Also big news. We have a new producer.
Oh, we do indeed.
Our wonderful producer Poppy Damon has been promoted at work and is now producing, editing a podcast, a daily podcast. So doing an additional podcast for us, too much.
Too much.
So we were very sad to see her go because she's been with us from the get-go.
Absolutely.
She's been absolutely dreamy and wonderful and so helpful and kind.
Yep.
And now we have a new producer called Sam Brain.
Sam Brain.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
And she used to work with me and she actually introduced me to Poppy.
Wow.
And now she's taken over, which is great. Thanks, Poppy, and hello, Sam.
Welcome, Sam.
So Yes, as usual, thank you to all of our people, to our producer Sam Brain, to my brother who did the music, my friend George who did our caricature, to Audio Boom for hosting us, to Jeffrey for all the hard work, and to you, our listeners, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you so much. I can't tell you how much we appreciate it. I started telling people, everybody I speak to, that we've got this podcast, and I think I recruited 5 people this week.
5 people this week?
Mm.
That's good, Dad.
You know,
tell a friend.
Yeah, tell a friend. I mean,
or your cab driver, as Jeffrey does.
Oh, I tell my cab drivers. Anybody. I mean, I'd probably stop people in the street if I could. But it's so important. Do tell a friend, because we enjoy it. I mean, it's not easy to enjoy, but we try and do it. And in an interesting way. And I'm just thrilled that there are so many people in so many parts of the world that actually listen to Mo and I, which is utterly wonderful. And as I always say at the end, you know, unfortunately, bad things happen to good people, so do be careful out there.